This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. And in those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to their own towns to be registered. And Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered of her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. The Gospel of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would hear not just the words of men, but the words of God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And so, how did all this get started anyway, this Christmas thing? Some would say that there were many starting points, and they'd be right. And for instance, we have the prophecies that were written hundreds of years before Jesus was born, prophecies foretelling of his birth, and those are starting points. But the flesh and blood starting point, if we might call it that, comes just after Gabriel's famous message. Gabriel's famous message. You're familiar with Gabriel's famous message, aren't you? Sometimes called the Annunciation, which is recorded for us in Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 26. And there we read, "And the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Of course, you may recall that many would have wondered if anything good could come from Nazareth. And still the scriptures say the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, or in the Hebrew, Miriam. And the angel came and said to her, "Greetings, favored one." Or as we have it traditionally, "Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you." Which especially in light of what follows suggests to me that God's perception of Mary was a great deal greater than her own perception of herself. And perhaps that's just the point. That God thought more of Mary than she thought of herself. And how rare is that? But Luke continues in verse 29, but Mary was greatly troubled at this saying. I'm sure she was. And Luke says, and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. That's a fancy biblical way of saying, what's going on? And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You'll conceive and you'll give birth to a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, over Israel, forever. And of his kingdom, there'll be no end. Which reminded me of Max Lucado's famous saying, whether you live to be 9 or 90, life is short, but the kingdom of God lasts forever. And Luke continues, and Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? That is, how can I conceive in my womb and bear a son given that I'm a virgin and I've never known a man sexually? And Luke continues, and the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, which is a description of an extraordinary thing indeed, in which Mary will conceive in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit, and seemingly her virginity will remain intact. And so the angel Gabriel continues in verse 35, and therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. Indeed, God the Father will be the Father. You're asking about the Father. God the Father will be the Father, and not by means of a divine coupling like the pagans often talked about. In fact, in the Roman historian Suetonius, he records that the mother of Augustus was in the temple of Apollo, and the god Apollo came in and impregnated her. That's not what this is about. But by means of a special creative act within the womb of Mary. And the angel Gabriel continued, and behold, indeed, if you want a proof of the impossible, your relative Elizabeth in her old age. I can relate to that. Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. She's in her sixth month. Her who's been called by people for years barren. A woman who apparently cannot have a child. And she's pregnant now in her old age. In fact, she's 6 months along, getting ready to start her third trimester. And Gabriel said, for nothing is impossible with God. Indeed, God can make a barren womb a fruitful one, and God can make a virgin conceive and bear a son, even in her virginity, for nothing is impossible with God. I don't think Mary understood all of this. I mean, what sort of template would she fit all of this into? And still she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And Luke says, and the angel departed from her. And presumably, as Mary submitted herself and said yes to this thing that God was calling her to do, she conceived. But then what about Joseph? We talked a little bit about him this last Sunday. We turn there to Matthew chapter 1 and beginning at verse 18, and there we're told about Joseph's famous dream. In fact, we read there beginning at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, and now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, and before they came together, that is, before their marriage was consummated, she was found, oh dear, She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Luke's gospel, we're told that very soon after Mary's encounter with the angel and her subsequent conception, Mary traveled from Nazareth to Judea to be with her cousin Elizabeth, who was already, as we said, 6 months pregnant, and Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months until Elizabeth gave birth to her son, whom they called John. It would become, as we would know him, John the Baptist. And after John was born, Mary returned to Nazareth. And so when Mary returned home to Nazareth, she was already then a little more than 3 months pregnant. And so Matthew continues in verse 19, and her husband, Joseph, notice he's called her husband. And this is Joseph, her betrothed. And in keeping with the tradition of betrothal in the day, he also would have been called her husband, even though their marriage had not yet been consummated. But we read, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to public shame, he just assumed that she had been unfaithful. What else was he to assume or think? He resolved, we're told, to divorce her quietly, to end the betrothal in private as manner as he might. But then Matthew says, and as Joseph was considering these things, he knew what he needed to do, but maybe he didn't know quite how to do it. Like, how am I going to pull this off? As Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That is to say, and what the angel is saying is, Mary hasn't been unfaithful to you, Joseph. For as the angel said, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And the angel continues, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Matthew continues, and when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took his wife, and he knew her not until she had given birth to his son, and he called his name Jesus. Which then brings us to Jesus' famous birth. Jesus' famous birth. And the text that we read tonight from Luke's Gospel chapter 2. That in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, also known as Octavian. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Registered so that they could figure out how much more taxes they could collect. Luke says this is the first registration or census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so Luke says they all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, the king, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child, to Bethlehem. Which reminds us of Herod's famous inquiry about where the Messiah, the Christ, was to be born. In Matthew chapter 2, and beginning at verse 4, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes together, Herod inquired of them, where was the Christ, the Messiah, to be born? And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written in the prophet Micah. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. And so Luke continues, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. That's a feeding trough for domestic animals. Not exactly the maternity ward at Memorial Hermann. In a feeding trough for domesticated animals because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, as you may know, there's some debate about where Jesus was actually born, but perhaps in a cave, as in the Eastern tradition, or in a stable, as in the Western tradition. Or perhaps in maybe more truly in a space within a human dwelling where nearby animals are sheltered at night. You bring the animals into the house, even as they do today in Palestine, to be sheltered for the night, which is something that Kenneth Bailey in his book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, points out as perhaps the most real situation. But whatever the actual location, the point is that the setting for Jesus' birth is a humble one. Indeed, it's a peasant's birth. And not at all what we might have expected, given who Jesus is, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, who existed before anything, any created thing did exist. Which brings us to the shepherd's famous witness. The shepherd's famous witness. In this same chapter, Luke 2, and beginning at verse 8, and Luke says that in the same region where Jesus was born, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. It's nighttime, and gather them around, situate them in a way that they might be protected. Wait for the morning to come. But before morning came, Luke says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Imagine, you know, it's like when you're trying to fall asleep and some family member comes into the bedroom and doesn't know you're there and turns the lights on. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear of it. Of course they were like deer in the headlights. The angel said to them, fear not. Notice they don't appear to Caiaphas the high priest. They don't appear in the angel doesn't appear in the palace of King Herod. An angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all of the people. For all of the people, and even for them, the shepherds. When the shepherds came into the town, everybody looked around for their valuables to make sure that they were properly secure. The shepherds were poor, and they might take something that they need without paying for it, because they don't have anything to pay for it with anyway. But this is for them too. And notice verse 11, for unto you, what people would describe as the offscouring of the earth, the nobodies, peasants of the lowest order. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. This is a sign for you. No one had ever talked to them like this. And now God is talking to them like this through the ministry of a sent one, a messenger, an angel. But this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, a peasant's birth for peasants to behold. And Luke continues, and he says, and suddenly there was with the angel, there was with that one angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, that is, a multitude of angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest for what he's doing. It's amazing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And Luke says that when the angels went away from them into heaven, and it all went dark again. The shepherds said to one another, let's go. Let's go into town. Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. That's the point, isn't it, Jacob? I think he means us to go. He told us what we would see if we go. And Luke says, and so they went with haste. As hasty as you can be in the dark. They went with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Indeed, the shepherds couldn't keep silent about the things they've seen and heard. It's very interesting. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles, and he uses this idea here. They couldn't keep silent about the things they'd seen and heard. That's the same experience that the apostles had when they were on trial before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin, the members of the Sanhedrin, the council in Jerusalem said, stop healing and preaching in this name. And Peter, speaking for both of them, said, we cannot keep silent about the things that we've seen and heard. We saw him die on Friday. We mourned for him on Saturday. We saw him alive on Sunday. And 40 days later, we watched him ascend into heaven. We cannot keep silent about the things that we've seen and heard. And so the shepherds, can you imagine? They never experienced anything remotely like that in their lives. And so they couldn't, they talked about the angels, they talked about the glory of the Lord, you should have seen it. And the message that for unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so the shepherds repeated the message that they heard, that this child is our Savior. This child is the Christ, the Messiah. This child is Lord. And Luke says that all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them, but that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. The Apostle Paul, writing to the churches in Galatia, said, and when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. And the prophet Isaiah wrote hundreds of years before it happened, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth, forevermore. And John wrote, and you all know it well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so I wonder, do you believe? Do you believe? Let us pray. We believe. We don't believe because we have to, Lord. We believe because we get to believe. And we think, Lord Jesus, even what you said to Thomas, Thomas, do you believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who believe who have not seen. Or Peter writing to the community of believers to whom he was writing, and though you have not seen him, yet you love him and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it all started in a flesh and blood kind of way on this night so many years ago. Lord, I pray that this would not just be to us some way for retail, the retail economy to finish in the black. Or that this is a holly jolly and so on. No. This is a blessed time. And all the more a blessed time if the blessing should take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. Lord, we pray that we would not simply be observers of Christmas, but a Christmas people. That you would live your life through us, even as the divine life that lived in Christ, so that he could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And this we pray in Jesus' name.